You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to Natural Health Radio and today's Nature Connections show. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm delighted to welcome today Sue Lilly, who is the coordinator and senior tutor of Mandala Complementary Studies, the creator of Sovereignty Essences and co-worker with Green Man Essences, and also secretary of the British Association of Flower Essence Producers. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot.
So I'm excited to be talking to you because I know you're such an influential person in the world of flower essences and vibrational medicine. So, and you also have a new book out, which you're going to tell us all about. First of all, I know you've been doing this for quite some time, and this one of the reasons that why it's so important for your voice to be heard and for all that you do to be shared very widely, because you have so much experiences. How did you get involved with flower essences and crystals as well?
It all started when I did a yoga teacher's course in 1996-97, and amongst my fellow students, there were people who were into crystals, there was a couple of astrologers, and a fair few of them were using the batch flower remedies. So as a sort of very naive 25-26 year old, I absorbed all this influence, apart from obviously the yoga stuff, and it was my introduction to those things, and it sort of grew from there.
Yes, it's often how we all begin, isn't it? Is that we just get, we use the flower essences and maybe essential oils or crystals to help us in our own personal lives. And from that, everything grows. So when did you actually begin making the essences that you make? How did that all fit in?
Well, that didn't really happen until moved out into the Devonshire countryside. In 1990, long convoluted story, but it was, we were already teaching crystal therapy to students, and one of the students, we were talking about batch flower remedies one day, and somebody said, well, why didn't Edward Batch make hazel? And it was like, actually, good point. Because of all the trees in the batch flower remedy range, traditional sort of British trees like hazel weren't there. So it was like, okay, so let's make a hazel essence and let's see what its effect is. And that was the start.
So some curiosity coming in there.
Curiosity, and of course, having now got to grips with an understanding hazel as an energy, it's very much about developing skills and coming into your own and that sort of thing. So it was never a coincidence, is it? But hazel was the one that started it all off.
Yes, how lovely. How lovely that she came in and actually helped you take those next steps, which is is part of, I think, what we're going to talk about today as well. And you and I both know through our own work that and how the world of flower essences is now literally starting to bud and grow. And it's really now time, isn't it, for this medicine. And it's maybe a word that we can discuss as to whether it is medicine or and what actually that means. But Dr. Batch did such a great job. And his traditions live on. There are now so many other producers. But it really feels like now is the time to actually start spreading the word in a much, much wider way.
I think that there's lots of reasons why the opportunity now is to really, for things to seriously expand. I think the vision that Edward Batch had is continuing to be fulfilled and continuing to grow. And he always saw it as something that anybody could use. And I think as people become more aware, or they get to a point where you have to take responsibility for your own well-being, and I think flower essences and other essences are a really good place to start if you don't really think you're ready for some, if you like, some of the heavier hitters, if you like. I think it's a very gentle, very natural way for people to start.
Absolutely, yes. So they are gentle, but we also know that they're very, very profound in the way they work. Mm. And maybe this is also why it's now time to start also just allowing people to see that if they're ready for a big shift in their lives, that this is the gentle way to do it, but also be ready for change.
Yeah, I mean, we always describe it to our students of, you know, it's like you can reach a threshold of a door, and things like pharmaceuticals and herbs and homeopathy indeed will, if it's the right one, it will kick you through the door. Whereas the thing with essences is that even if it's the right one, you still have choice whether you go through the door or not. Mm. And I think that's an interesting way of looking at how they can empower people in a slightly different way than other healing modes that they have got strong links to.
Mm. Yes, so that choice is all part of the empowerment. I'm aware of this now.
Yeah.
But the timing and is mine.
That's right. And I think that's something that you certainly, as a practitioner, you see it in your clients. And I think as an individual, that when you're looking for help yourself, is that the appropriate ones come up. I mean, you have, if you like, usually got a few friends, constitutionals, if you like, a homeopath would call them a constitutional, a few friends that you always fall back on when the going gets a bit sticky. But that's lovely because it means that you've made a connection with that part of nature and it's made a connection with you. And it becomes a very supportive process.
Absolutely. Now, you and I as well both know that as flower essences move into these new times, and it's happening quite quickly, but we're also very aware as to how they have actually moved on in the last, let's say, 10, 15 years. And maybe we can talk a little bit about how you've seen that happen.
Yes, I think there was a mini explosion of essence makers in the early 90s, of which I was a part, because prior to that it was Ellie Webb and Lilla Davey and Arthur Bailey and Kaminsky's and things like that. But then it sort of really got going in the early 90s, but then reached a point where it didn't seem to go much further. And then suddenly, I think when the awareness that essences could be channeled, you can channel essences, and with the acceptance of the understanding of what shape does, what colour does, what landscapes do, it's like as people got to realise that these were patterns as well that could be used as essences, people got really creative. And they mixed and matched, and they, you know, and it's like it's the understanding that what you have in the bottle is more than what there is in the bottle. Mm. It was the opening lines to the very first flower essence gathering in Leiston was the challenge of what do you think you've got in the bottle? And of course, what you have in the bottle is an energy connection to whatever the focus of the essence was, you know, and a little bit of the energy of the producer as well. But it's like that is what's in the bottle. It's not just like an aspirin, or it's not just like something like that. You've got something that is much bigger.
And living.
And living. And therefore your relation to it is very different than it would be of other sorts of healing modes. It's recognizing that even the tiniest, the essence of it, the tiniest flower, because nature works in a different way than human beings. I mean, we found this out very much with trees, is you work with a tree in the UK and you come across the same tree in the USA, the tree knows you. Because they belong to in a collective way more than the way that we recognize ourselves as human beings. We always tend to think of ourselves as individuals. Mm. And so it actually gives us access to huge support from nature, much more than people can sometimes get their head around, I think.
Yes, yes, and just forming my next question, I'm having to think quite deeply because of what you've just said, that because it is huge, it's very, yeah, very huge.
And I think this was part of what Edward Bach was looking at when he first made the Bach Flower Remedies, is realizing that hugeness puts human issues into context, but also means that the potential for healing within an individual is huge if you can just plug people back in that way. Mm. You know, it's like the feeling of aloneness goes. And I think that's one of the biggest schisms that we have in our modern society, is that people feel separate,
yes,
from nature. They feel separate from what's around them. And essences very, very subtly and cleverly plug people back in.
So I guess we can see that from either side. If we're drawn, let's say, to taking oak essence, and that's our first conscious experience of oak, is through the essence, then when we go into nature, oak knows us. Similarly, yes, if we have a relationship with an oak tree, then our experience with the oak essence, should we choose to take it, will be deeper, because we already, yes, know that being.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And oak, of course, oak is a really good one because it's very sort of grandfatherly energy. And I think even with the work that Edward Bach did on oak, is it's very much that, you know, if you go with a question to a good, you know, a well-adjusted grandparent, they won't answer you directly. They'll just send you off on some little other task where you find the answer for yourself. Mm-hmm. And oak is that sort of energy. Mm-hmm. So yes, very approachable and very, very strong, but also very understanding of the human condition.
Mm. Yes. And I guess once we know these energies, even if we are somewhere where we need the support, let's say of oak, and we don't have that bottle on us, or we're not anywhere near a physical oak, because we are connected, we can call on oak.
Yeah. And the same goes for anything.
Yes.
I think obviously the things like trees are energetically a slightly different flavour, if you like, than something like a daisy or a dandelion, just because of the nature of the difference in the plant and the longevity of the thing. But you've still got that connection. Once you make that connection, the connection's there.
And it takes us on very nicely to something that you talk about in your book, which we'll signal everybody to later on, is how we actually connect with essences and how we are always influenced. And even as experienced practitioners, as trainers, we can fall into this trap. We might meet a flower and, I'll go off and look in the repertory to find out what,
yeah,
this flower does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas actually, it's all about connecting and having a personal relationship with that flower, that tree, that crystal, that environment, whatever it, yeah, is we're interacting, yeah, with. So can you talk to us a little bit about that and your take on that?
Yeah. Well, cookbooks and repertories have their place. I've no doubt. And like you say, I mean, the first thing you do is, it's like, I mean, it happens in the crystal world as well. You know, this crystal does this, this essence does this. You know, same old, same old. But the thing is, when you name something, it's like the Rumpelstiltskin effect, is as soon as you name something, you limit something. And you can see that in particular, actually in both the Crystal and the Essence community, when, like in Essences, for example, in the batch range, there are very, very clear keywords that go with particular essences. I mean, I love using pine as the example, Scots pine, because it's tied in very much with, you know, if you feel guilty, you need pine. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I've heard people say in a conversation, oh, you obviously feel guilty about so-and-so, you need some pine essence. And it's like, well, yes, but actually poor old pine is much more than that. You know, and it's like, it's although it will help when feeling guilty, it's actually quite nice, particularly for a practitioner, as finding out actually what mechanism's going on here. And actually looking at the whole of the thing, not just, if you like, the prescriptive tab that comes with it. Mm. And because sometimes, even as a practitioner, you'll come up with essences for somebody and you think, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Where on earth did that come from? And of course, the next time they come back to you, they say, I don't know what you put in that combination, but boy, it really did do what it. And you're thinking, well, on paper, where did, you know, how did that work? And it's because even as a producer or an author, you cannot write enough about even one thing. You know, you could have 10 encyclopedias on pine and you still wouldn't get all the information in about pine. And I think this is the thing, is it's good to have ways of, or strategies to discover for yourself what more lies behind this essence other than what the author or a producer has written. Mm. And in that way, as a practitioner, or even as the person taking an essence, it gives you access into the world of that energy rather than just a tiny little, sort of taster. You can actually step right into it. And when you step into it, you begin to understand how that plant or whatever is interacting with you personally, and you can then see, when you see other people interact with it, you can see the similarities, but there will always be individual little wrinkles about how the relationship works.
Absolutely, yeah, it's so important to really take back our own power.
Yeah, I mean, and I say it happens in the crystal world, it happens in the flower essence world. You know, it's like rose quartz is good for love. Well, I can think of quite a few situations when rose quartz was probably the worst thing that you could do because of the nature of how it works in its colour. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is one of the nice things with flowers. They're yelling colour at you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So colour is a primary key.
Absolutely. So if we let's give everybody listening an example. I'm sure people listening have a favourite flower,
and yes,
let's just take that as everybody having their favourite flower. Can you talk us through some of the ways that the people can actually start to connect in with that flower and find out the message?
Well, I think the first thing is the fact it's your favourite flower is already telling you that it's supporting you in some way. And sometimes that's why it's quite interesting if there's something you really hate. Because that's suggesting there's something you don't want to look at. But going on the idea of the favourite flower, then it's supporting you in some way. So it is going to be primarily a colour support, and it's going to be an energetic support depending on the where it's growing, you know, how it's been looked after. What other members of its family are linked into, whether it has a herbal use, whether it's used as homeopathic, that sort of thing. It's that sort of logical information, you can find all that out. Then the next thing to do is to sit with it and to try and enter your mind or enter your senses and just to go through them sometimes. Okay, you know, if I close my eyes, is for example, is it still, you know, a yellow rose? If I close my eyes, what does it actually feel like? You know, how does it make me think? You know, does it zone me out, or do I actually feel as though I'm a little bit more lively? And of course, if people have got other skills, like they've got visualization skills, they've got shamanic skills or something like that, or they can use a pendulum so they can douse for other things for it, you can actually build up a picture of how the whole thing is working. Obviously, it's still going to be your fave, you know, but you'll understand a little bit more about what else it's doing. Mm.
Wonderful, yeah. So I hope maybe that's going to be your tip for everybody listening to the show, because I always ask people that I interview to give a tip on how to connect with nature. So maybe that can be the one for today, is just go out and try this, have some fun.
Yeah, have some fun and look to your favourites, but also look to the things you're trying to ignore.
Yeah.
Because that's the ones that you're keeping under the rug. You know, that's the shadow, as people would say, you know, the in phrase, that represents the shadow part of you.
Absolutely, yeah. And my experience is as well that the flowers and the trees and the crystals actually really love for us to connect to them like this.
Oh, yes.
They like us to know who they are rather than just I know you because I've looked you up in a repertory. They like us to actually see them as beings.
And, of course, the nice thing about a repertory is, that, you know, is if... you know, a friend is using that particular essence, is you can say, well, actually, so-and-so says this. You know, it's not just me that's telling you this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so repertories and cookbooks have their place.
Absolutely.
But I think it's like to make sure that they aren't the whole story.
Yes.
Because they're not.
Yes, definitely. So I know that's one of your purposes for your book, is for to make the world of essences much bigger than the repertory type book, which are wonderful, as we've both said, and have their total place, but actually bringing out a different aspect, and it is this aspect of connecting in with ourselves and the plants. Now, another big aspect of your book is actually all different ways that the essences speak to us through our chakras, through our subtle bodies, through our meridians, and they're all ways that practitioners may well be able to deepen their own knowledge, but also just the general public. So can you talk to us a little bit about how knowing about chakras and light bodies and meridians can actually help us understand ourselves and how to use essences?
Well, I think the thing is it's by using other methods other than by mouth when using essences does open up a lot of possibilities. And you come to realise after a while that actually by mouth is probably the least efficient way of actually interacting with an energy like an essence. In fact, the quickest way usually is to pop a drop on your hands and just breathe it in. That's probably the fastest way of getting the energy into the system. And sometimes, for many reasons, sometimes people can't take stuff by mouth. And it's realizing that, whereas before you would thinking, well, if I can't take alcohol for some reason, I can't use essences or whatever, it's actually saying, well, there's lots of other ways of doing it. And lots of other ways that can be actually bring the energy in a much more focused way into the whole being. And particularly, as you get more familiar with using essences, it's sometimes worth exploring some of these other methods. I mean, things like working through the aura and subtle bodies is getting much more well known now. You see people sweeping all sorts of essential oils and whatever through the body is a very quick way of getting things in. And people are very familiar, or a lot of people are very familiar with chakras. People are less familiar with the meridian system because it's a little bit more complex. But for energy healing, for vibrational healing, it's actually a usable map. Mm. Tend to think of them as energy maps or root maps. It's like the chakra system is one map, one set of structures. The meridians is another set. They do overlap a little bit, but they're actually two different ones. And some people's bodies will prefer one than another. And it's really looking at other ways to broaden out the scope. And I think the more familiar you get, to use essences, the more you realise that you probably actually need to broaden the scope out a bit. Because the body gets, oh, I've done that all the time, you know, do something different, especially if you're working with another therapist. You know, you sometimes got to be a bit more sneaky.
Yes, absolutely, yes, because the body
you know, and things like meridians for most therapies are more sneaky. So, yeah, it's just different route maps.
And I think as well, as the consciousness expands around fluorescences, obviously our consciousness about how we can use them is expanding.
Yes.
So therefore, it's totally natural that we would begin to allow other parts of ourselves to absorb the information. And experience its difference, that it feels different, it does something different.
Oh yeah, yes, I mean sometimes it does create very abrupt change. I mean, you know, hilarious, you know, client stories about the difference between taking by mouth, for example, and using on a meridian point.
Mm.
It's the sort of thing that as a tutor I really enjoy relating those anecdotes. Because the difference is the difference between using a shotgun and using a high velocity pistol.
Well, we're using all the consciousness of the Chinese system as well there, aren't we? We've got this whole consciousness of the meridian system, mass consciousness, and you're kind of downloading all that.
Yeah. And the length of time that's been used.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I think we could carry on talking for ages. We've literally just skimmed the surface here, but we've talked about some really good deep stuff in this interview, so thank you very, very much for sharing that with us. So would you tell everybody now how they can find out more about you and how they can and about your book as well?
Yeah, well, the Flowerescence book is called The Flowerescence Practitioner: Choosing and Using Flower and Other Essences. It's available from ourselves, which is greenmanshop.co.uk, and will be on Amazon as from the 14th of May, so you can get from Amazon as well. It's my contribution to International Flower Essence Awareness Month to try to get it out in time for that. And hopefully, for beginners and more experienced, it will give an idea of what's possible.
Yes.
I always like to think people go and have a play, you know, explore. And although it does have some very practical ideas and up-to-date stuff about some of the research on water as well, which again is really interesting. Mm. But yeah, yes. So.
And how can people find out about your essences and your training courses?
Well, that's on the Mandala Complementary Studies website, which is mcscourses.co.uk, and all the courses there, the tutored ones, the correspondence ones, the email ones, they're all there on flower essences and other energy healing techniques as well.
And your sovereignty essences?
Oh, my ladies.
Yes,
my ladies. Yes, they can. You can read about them and buy them on greenmanshop.co.uk. Okay. Yes, they're my ladies, and one man, but yes, my ladies. Yes.
And it would be lovely to have you back on the show another time to talk to us about those. Actually, I think that would be fabulous.
Yes, yes,
that'd be great.
They're interesting set of composite essences.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Sue, for sharing today, and I've really enjoyed speaking to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.